worthy. You agree with that tonight? I love the line in that song, faithful, good, he doesn't change. You know, there's not a person on this earth you can say that about and it be true. Even when we intend to be faithful and we want to be consistent, boy, sometimes in this just old wretched body of flesh, we fail God, we fail one another. We make promises that we don't keep. Even when we really mean to. I mean, it just doesn't happen sometimes, does it? But I'm glad He's faithful to every promise He's ever made. Amen. He does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not.
Right.
And I'm glad that's the God I serve tonight. Amen. It's good to be in church.
Amen.
Glad everybody made it back out this evening. It is good to see Brother Eric and Miss Debbie. And been a while since I've seen them. Of course, when I first saw him walk in, I thought it's Sunday night, man. Did they vote him out this morning? What did he do? But almost, but he made it. He made it by one vote. He survived. No, but they've been friends a long time. Appreciate them. But I'm glad you're here. I'm going to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 2 this evening. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 2. I seldom say anything about our table back there. We do have CDs back there. And if you've got one of them new vehicles that are snooty and they don't have a CD player, we've got flash drives. But really what I want to tell you about is my daughters, Brooke and Kyla, they're going on a missions trip to Europe this summer. They'll be gone for 2 weeks. And we've got a missionary, Brother Matt Stallman, out of our home church back home. And he and his wife, they're taking a group over there, I think the end of July, 1st of August. And so they've got jewelry and stuff that they've made, and they sell that back there. And any money that comes in for that is going toward that missions trip. And so just keep that in mind, or if the Lord just puts it on your heart to just be a blessing or a help to them, I know they'll appreciate that. So you just keep that in mind if you would, and just know that they're planning for that and praying about that. So the Lord put something on your heart. You do what the Lord would have you to do. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 2 tonight. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Aren't you glad you got a Bible?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, everything we believe, everything we are as Christians, it's because we got a book.
Right. Come on.
Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God.
Deuteronomy
chapter 2, verse number 1, Moses says this. Keep in mind, he's just addressing the children of Israel, kind of giving a recap of what all they've been through as they've been brought out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. Now they've been wandering in the wilderness for all these years. And they're just kind of looking back over some things they went through. So he says in verse number 1, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which shall dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 3. Where the Lord said, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. I want to preach tonight on this thought, going further with God.
Amen.
Going further with God. I don't know about you tonight, brother and sister, but if I'm being honest, I'm not exactly where I want to be with God. Now obviously the ultimate goal is glorification. That day when we go home to be with the Lord and we drop this robe of flesh and we get that brand new glorified body, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. Amen? But I mean, even right here in this life, right here, right now, I hope nobody here could say, well, I have arrived. Because there's not a one of us here this evening that have arrived in our relationship with God. I trust you saved. I trust some of you been walking with the Lord. Some of you longer than I've been alive, and praise the Lord for it. But even then, if you're honest, you'd say, I have not arrived. And I need to go further in my walk with God and in His Word. I remember the other day, I think it was Brother Eddie White talking about having that chart in their house where they would mark how the kids and the grandkids have grown. And my wife did that years ago when our kids were just little. And she made a board and put it in the laundry room. And every now and then they'd say, hey, check me, Mom, see if I've grown any. And she'd take them in there and she'd put the pencil at the top of their head and mark it. And I mean, if they had grown just the slightest little bit, then they were excited. They would go tell their brothers and sisters, man, I grew. It didn't even have to be a bunch, just a little bit. They were excited about it. Amen. And if you've seen me and their mom, you know why they're excited. Amen. There's not a lot of hope for much height in our family. Amen. But they were excited about that growth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if as God's people, if we would get that excited about some growth in our life instead of having this mentality of, well, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven, but now I'm just going to kind of coast until I get to heaven. We sang the old hymn a while ago. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was actually the truth in our lives? Where each and every day we're growing closer and closer in our walk with God. God has so many truths and wonderful treasures that most believers never even tap into. Because we just get content where we're at. And when we do, we get stale. May we be like those little kids and say, you know what? Hey, revival time, revival meeting. This is a good opportunity just to step up to the board and say, Lord, would you check me out? See if there's been any growth. And if there hasn't been, rebuke me. And stir me that I'd want to do something about that. You know, we stay at a lot of hotels, and so, you know, hotels, you ride a lot of elevators. You know, if you get in an elevator, you can get in that thing and them doors close too, but until you push that button, you ain't going anywhere. Now, you're in. You're as in as you can be, but you ain't going anywhere until you make a conscious decision to do it. And tonight you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm in. I'm in with the Lord. I know I'm saved. Well, that's good, but are you going to further heights? Or are you just kind of coasting through this thing, winging it, you know? There's a lot of truth to that old hymn they sing down south. I'm winging my way back home. Y'all remember that old song? Now, I think a lot of people, that's exactly what they're doing. They don't read their Bible. They don't have a prayer life. They're just winging it. I don't think that's what the hymn's talking about, but there's a lot of people just kind of winging through this thing. But I want to go further with God. And a meeting like this is a good opportunity just to say, Lord, search my heart. And if I'm not where I need to be, if there's some things that have come between me and you, help me to get those things right. Help me to do business with you. This shouldn't just be something just to put on the church calendar. Hey, we're going to do this in February, Sunday through Wednesday. But really ask the Lord to do something in your heart. And I believe if we'll come looking and expecting Him to grow us and change us, He'll be faithful to do that. Let me give you several thoughts and I'm done tonight. Number one, notice here the Lord's command. The Bible said in verse number 2, and the Lord spake unto me. So the Lord's talking here. And when the Lord's speaking, we need to be listening.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. We spend so much time doing this nowadays. And I'm guilty, man. I got that thing just like you do. And I mean, if I'm not messing with it, you know what it's doing? It's popping up notifications. You know what it's saying? Look at me. Look at me. Give me some attention. I mean, we spend time doing that with our faces in front of the television, watching the ball game. Amen. And we're listening to all that. We're listening to politicians and all their lies. Doesn't matter whether Democrat, Republican, they'll all lie to you. Ain't that the truth? But this is the Lord speaking. And when He's speaking, We need to be paying very close attention. The Lord spake unto me, saying, verse 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. So this is a command of the Lord, church. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea if you feel like it. This is the Lord speaking, and it's a direct command. And in His command, He points out the danger of complacency. He said in verse number 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Now for a time, they needed to be right there in that spot. That was the will of God for them for a certain period of time. That was where God blessed them, where God met their needs. But there came a point where the Lord said, time to move on. It's time to go. Because the wilderness was never the ultimate goal. The idea was to cross the Jordan River and get over into Canaan land. It meant a picture of the victorious Christian life. And so He's telling them it's time to go on. That's the work of sanctification in the life of a believer. It's one thing to be saved and be enjoying your salvation, but God wants us to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ, each and every day of our life. And that comes with growth. If you're not careful, you'll get in one place and you'll get satisfied with that place, that spot, that when the Lord says it's time to go further, when it's time to move on, you'll say, nah, I kind of like it here. If you're not careful, you'll get complacent and comfortable. You know why so many churches are dead in the 21st century? We've gotten comfortable. Maybe a little too comfortable. To the point a preacher comes in, and I mean preaches some truth, and the Lord starts stirring your heart, and rather than do business with God, you'll go find you another church that's just a little bit lighter. And don't they abound? All up and down the road, we got them down south, you got them up north. You can always find you a slick, smooth preacher that'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. But you'll just stay in that same spot and never grow. If you're not careful, you'll get to heaven one day and realize, man, I missed out on a whole lot that God had for me. The danger of complacency. There's a determined course that's laid out here. He said in verse number 3, turn you northward. The Lord had a specific place, a specific direction for them to go. The thing of the Christian life, it's not just, well, how do I feel about it today? Or hey, what about this? How do I feel in my heart? I think that's what a lot of people, even Christian people, how they're going through life nowadays. Right. I'm just going to follow my heart. You didn't get that from the Bible. Right. You got that from Disney. Yeah. Just follow your heart. That's bad advice. Yeah. Amen. Have you read in the Bible what it has to say about your heart? It's deceitful, desperately wicked. You don't want to follow your heart. You want to follow the Holy Spirit that lives within. And when He says, turn you northward, you don't say, well, I'm going to go further, but I'm going to go this direction. Or I'm going to go that direction. No, there's a specific course that is laid out here. Turn you northward. You don't get into the ministry or answer the call to preach and say, now let me figure out whether I want to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. No, you say, God, what do you want for my life? What specific ministry would you have me in? You don't just say, well, let's see, what do I feel like? I remember years ago a young preacher, known him since he was a teenager, and he was working as a youth director, and he called me up and he said, Brother Daniel, I feel like I'm ready to pastor. And I'm looking for a church, and you know churches down south. He said, maybe you can recommend something to me. I said, okay. And he said, I'd really like a church like in East Tennessee. Maybe in the Smoky Mountains. Then he got real specific. He said, like Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. Now, if y'all don't know, that's a big vacation area down there. Beautiful, beautiful mountains down there, East Tennessee. I said, okay. He said, I want a church that shouts. I said, okay. He said, I want a church that has good standards. I said, brother, let me stop you right there and say this. If I find that church, I'm putting my name in. You don't just go into this thing, where do I want to be? What do I want to be doing? You know, God, what do you want for my life? Where do you want me serving you? What capacity would you have me to serve you in? And you know what? He might give you the desires of your heart. But I know this, even if it's not what you had on your bucket list, if it's what He has for you, it'll become your desire if you submit to Him. Amen. I'd say this, if you're not where you're supposed to be with God, don't expect God to show up and meet with you there. He's not going to do it. If you want to meet with God, you want to get where He... you got to be where you're supposed to be. So the Lord gives a command here, but there's also some distressing circumstances. If you've ever read about the wilderness wanderings and the things they had to deal with, I mean, there were some things that made it a little intimidating to keep moving on. That's probably why they'd get to a certain spot like this. Maybe it was a little easier. And they're like, man, I can rest here. I can relax a little bit right here. You know what? Every now and then the Lord will give you some places in your life where you can just breathe a little bit and go, whew. But we don't usually get to stay there real long, do we? I remember years ago I lived in Western North Carolina, and if I had a day at home when I wasn't off in a meeting preaching, I'd take off and I'd drive up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and you'd get up there, and I mean, it's just a scenic road. That's all it was built for. There's not traffic. And you just get up there, drive 25, 30 miles an hour, and just look at the beautiful mountains there. And I remember I'd get out one of them scenic overlooks, and I'd look out and I'd see an even bigger mountain, a taller mountain. I'd think, man, I want to go over to that one. Until I looked down and saw everything between the mountain I was on and that mountain. And it was dark. It was low. Looked a little scary. I'm like, yeah, maybe I don't want to go to that mountain over there after all. I'll just stay right here because that looks a little intimidating. I think we do that with the Lord sometimes. He'll say, hey, it's time to move forward. It's time to go higher. Right. All right, Lord, that sounds good. I want to be obedient to you. I want to be in your will, where you want me. Oh, but wait, I got to go down there to get there? I got to go through that to get there? Yeah. No, thank you. I'll just stay right here. I'm pretty comfortable right here. Yeah, see, the only problem is now that place where you've seen God bless and you've seen Him meet your needs, now that place has become a place of disobedience because you said, no, I'm just going to stay right here where I'm comfortable. And how many Christians tonight, they know they're saved, they've got that settled, but they're just not living in the perfect will of God because they got comfortable somewhere along the way. And they saw the valleys it was going to take. They saw some of the dark places they would have to go through to get to where God wanted them to go to. And they said, nope, I'm staying put. And now some people have been living for years, even decades, in a place where they can't even enjoy the good blessings of God because they got too comfortable at some point. How many churches has God said, you know what, it's time to go. It's time to move forward as a church. Time to go to greater heights. And the pastor challenges the church and tries to get the church on board. Let's go further with God. Oh, preacher, we're doing good. I mean, we're doing better than the church down the road. Yeah, but the church down the road ain't the standard. Do you know there's churches, Brother Caleb, that 25 years ago when we started in the ministry, we would go to, and I mean, they were packed out. They would have meetings, youth meetings, camp meetings, and people would come from all over the country just to get there, just to meet with God. And Brother Richard, some of those churches all these years later, they don't even exist now. You say, what happened? Probably at some point the Lord said, it's time to go further, and they said, we're okay. And when they did that, they become an easy target of the devil. Because if he can get you in a place of disobedience, he can pick you off just like that. So the Lord gives a command. It might be this week, or it might have been at Youth Ablaze this weekend if you were there. Maybe God has said, hey, here's an area of your life, it's time to grow. It's time to go a little further. Question is, are you going to be obedient to that? The Lord's command. Secondly, tonight we see the Lord's caution. He gives a caution in verse number 4. Notice what it said. He said, "And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore." Notice what he says here. He points out a group of people. He says, you're going to come across the children of Esau. And he says in verse number 5, meddle not with them. He identifies a group of people that they're going to cross paths with, but then he says, you don't need to meddle with these people. Don't become close friends with these people. I mean, Esau was the one who sold his birthright. He sold that birthright for a bowl of chili, amen? And you don't want to put your spoon in his mess. So the Lord says, you better beware. Here's a group of people. You know, there's still people today that we got to be careful around. There are people that will keep us from going further with God. There are people that will distract us and hold us back. And let me say, if that's who your friends are, if that's who your relationships are, you've got the wrong kind of friends. Amen. You ought to surround yourself with people that are saying, man, let's do more for God. Let's get closer to God. If they're dragging you away from God, you've got the wrong friends. So he says, here's a crowd. Don't meddle with them. But he does lay out a plan in verse number 6. He said, ye shall buy meat of them for money that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. So basically what he's saying is you're going to come across these people. You're not to get close with these people, but you know what? You are going to do some business with them. Now, we've got a New Testament verse that's similar, John 17:15. Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We say it like this, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are in the world. We're in this world to be a light to the world. But if you're getting involved in everything that worldly people and godless people are doing, you're not going to be a light. You've allowed them to snuff your light out. Yes, we're in the world. We do business in the world. We work in the world. Some go to school in the world and things of that nature. But we're to be a witness. We're to be a light. We're to point this lost and dying world to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're involved in every single thing they're doing and acting just like them and talking just like them, and you allow the evil things of the world to corrupt you and the way you walk and talk and think, then you've lost your witness. You've lost your influence. Oh, we're in the world, but amen, we ought to do our best, amen, to stay away from the evil of the world. And there is lots of evil in this world, no doubt about it. So he gives a caution. Hey, you're going to walk through this world. You're going to come across some very worldly, godless people. Do what you need to do with them. Go to Walmart. Do business with them. Or in today's society, run down to the Dollar General and do business with them. But that godless crowd should not be our best friends. We should not allow them to influence us to the point that we lose our witness and our influence. He gives a caution. But lastly tonight, let's look at the Lord's care. The Lord's care for His people. Notice what it said in verse 7. And again, Moses is reminding them of all that God's done for them since they've been on this journey. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. I know we read that verse, and that's what God did for Israel in the Old Testament thousands of years ago. But can you read that verse and say, you know what? He's met my every need too. He's been with me all along the way too. He's taken care of me all along this journey. The Lord took care of them. Everything they went through, the Lord was with them and He took care. He lays out some specifics there in verse number 7. They said, we had His perception. It said, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. He knew what they were going through. He knew where they were at. And I'm glad tonight He knows where I'm at. I'm glad He knows the things I'm facing before I ever get to them. You may be here tonight going through something or carrying a burden and you think nobody knows, nobody cares. I'm telling you, I can tell you on the authority of God's Word, there's at least one that knows. There's at least one that cares. And that's God who is seated on His throne. And He knows what's going on in your mind tonight. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows the thoughts you're facing. He knows the doubts that come into our minds. He knows the defeat we sometimes feel. He knows, He's aware. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knew you was going to face it before you got to it. His perception. You know what else they had? They had His presence. He said in verse number 7, these 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. 40 years of wandering in that wilderness, there wasn't one time they didn't have the presence of God. His presence was represented by that cloud by day and that fire by night, but they knew that God was with them. They had the presence of God. And I'm glad tonight that we have the presence of God. The question is, do we really know how to enjoy His presence? If you're saved, you have the indwelling Spirit of God, you have the abiding presence of God, but do you, when's the last time you enjoyed His presence? When's the last time you read your Bible and it wasn't just so you could check your list off? When's the last time you read it and you actually heard from God and you said, I enjoyed His presence today? When's the last time in your prayer life it wasn't just so you could check it off your list and go on with your day, but you actually enjoyed the presence of God? When's the last time you came to church, not just so you can say, well, it was Sunday and I went to church. Now, when's the last time you actually came to church and enjoyed the sweet presence of God? And if the answer is it's been a long time, it's not His fault. It's our fault. Because He wants to meet with us. He wants to bless us and show Himself and how wonderful He is. Brother Dan Metters was an evangelist many years down in Houston, still preaching, not in good health anymore. But years ago, when he was younger, he went over to his pastor's house, Brother Jack Wood. He knocked on the door and Miss Wood answered the door and he said, "Can I see the preacher?" And she said, "Well, Brother Wood's in his office. He's been in there all morning. Just be quiet when you go in." She said, "Don't even knock on the door. Just go in. Just be quiet." So Brother Dan went to his office and slipped in. He said Brother Jack was sitting in his office chair and he was facing the window, just looking out the window. Brother Dan just slipped in, sat down in a chair in a corner and just sat there. Said he sat there for about 15 minutes. Nobody said anything. He said all of a sudden he just started weeping. And he said, "Brother Jack, God's here." He said, "Brother Jack," just old cowboy, kind of cocked his head around, said, "He's been here all morning, son." He said, "Don't you run him off." You ever enjoyed the presence of God that way? If not, you can. They had His presence. We have His presence. The question is, do we ever take time to really enjoy it and just soak in it? Or are we too busy? You know, the amazing thing to me is their trip through the wilderness, it should have been, 7 to 12 days, something like that, from the Red Sea to the Jordan River, shouldn't have been more than about a week. But because of their disobedience, their grumbling and complaining, turned into 40 years. But even in their disobedience, here's what amazes me, they still had His presence. I'll be honest with you, I know we sometimes go through trials and valleys because, you know, God's just testing us. He does that. He did that with Job, didn't He? But can I just be really honest with you tonight? A lot of times when I'm going through some hard things or some hard valleys, a lot of times it's because God said go that way, and I said, nah, I think I'd rather go this way. God said, don't make me think I'm the only one that does that. Let's be honest tonight. He'll say, do it this way, and I'm like, but I think I got a better way. Let me just help you right there. There's never going to be a time or a day or a moment when you and I have a better plan than God. It's not going to happen. And so the Lord, He'll say, okay, you want to do it that way? I'm going to put you in a valley for a little while till you can get a clue. The amazing thing is that even in those times in my life, He's still there with me. He's still right there all along the way. And I'm thankful for His presence tonight. Amen. And I like His presence when we're on the mountaintop and everything's good and the breeze is blowing real nice. I like His presence then. But I tell you when I really appreciate it, it's when I am in that low place, in that dark place, and yet still He'll just come along real close and say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. You're not alone. You're going to get through this. I'm thankful for that tonight. There's been many times, I don't do it as much anymore as I've gotten older, but a lot of times when I was younger, I'd finish a meeting, and if my family wasn't able to go with me, I just wanted to get home to them. So I'd take off 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I'd start heading home, and maybe I was in the mountains somewhere, and it'd be real foggy. And you know, when it's foggy, you got to slow down a good bit, don't you? I like to drive fast, y'all. But you can't drive real fast when it's heavy fog. You know what you got to do? You got to slow down and really just find that little line on the edge of the road there and just kind of stay close to that line. You know what you need to do when life gets a little foggy? Slow down. And just get real close to Him. And say, Lord, I can't see very far up ahead. And I'm just going to get real close and trust You. Here's the thing, y'all. When the fog is lifted and you can see real clear again, just stay close to Him. Just stay close. They had His perception, His presence, but notice one other thing they had. He's taken care of them. The end of verse number 7, He said, thou hast lacked nothing. He said, man, we're out here in the wilderness for 40 years. No Walmart, no Chick-fil-A, no Dollar General. And yet we've had everything that we needed along the journey. His provision. He provided them with manna from heaven. He provided them with shoes that, I mean, they wouldn't even outgrow them or wear them out. Some of you moms and dads, you kind of wish it was that way right now, don't you? It ain't cheap to put shoes on teenage boys. He took care of them and met their needs all along the way. Could I just testify tonight and say He's met every need I've ever had? He's been faithful to meet my needs all along the way. I can remember several years back, boy, the gas prices started going up. I mean, it was like $2.20. And people are like, Brother Daniel, what are you evangelists and you missionaries going to do? I mean, the gas, it's $2.20. What are you going to do? This was long before it ever hit $5 several years ago. I said, we're going to do what we've always done and what God called us to do. We're going to get in the car and head down the road and trust Him to take care of us. He sure has been faithful to do that. And I don't know what your specific needs are, but I know this. He's met your every need because He said He would. Well, preacher, I wanted this and I wanted that. No, He said He'd meet your need, not your greed. Now, He has given me a lot of wants and desires. But He's met 100% every need I ever had because He promised that He would. And even in the valley, even in those low places, amen, even in those dark places, I'm glad He's still able to meet our needs, man. I don't know how bad things are going to get in America, but I know this, I'm going to keep looking to Him and trusting Him. I'm not looking to Wall Street. I'm not looking to Washington, D.C. They ain't got a clue what they're doing. Or it could be scarier. They may know exactly what they're doing. All you conspiracy theorists just got real happy right there. You got excited. Either way, it ain't good. Brother Caleb, sometimes preachers will say, Brother Daniel, you don't preach on prophecy much. Here's some prophecy for you. Things in the world and even in America, they're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then the trumpet sounds and the church is getting out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that much. I got that much figured out. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen. I've got friends that say it's going to be in 2033. And then another preacher friend said, no, our calendar's 4 years off. It's going to be in 2028 or 2029. And I don't know. Brother Eric, they're smarter than me. Maybe they know something I don't. Maybe they're right, but I know this. I hope both of them are wrong because I'm looking for them to come tonight. And if he doesn't come tonight, I'm going to look for him to come tomorrow. But until that day, no matter how bad the world gets, no matter how bad the economy gets, I know that there's a God that's on the throne who has faithfully met my needs all along the way. And if He took care of me yesterday and He took care of me today, He'll be faithful to take care of me tomorrow. He gives us what we need. But I tell you what, between point A and point B, you may go through some dark trials. You may go through some suffering. But I'm so glad that He's faithful through it all. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Don't get frustrated. Don't let the devil fill your mind with doubts to the point that you just turn back on God. Just stay faithful. And when He says you've been here long enough, it's time to move forward. Be obedient to Him. I remember some years ago, my boys were just little. And one Saturday morning, I came into the living room and they were watching cartoons. And I couldn't tell you what they were watching. I can tell you what channel it was. It was PBS. That's all we had back then. We were too poor to afford cable. And there was no such thing as streaming services like Netflix and all that junk. We didn't have that. And so we had PBS. The interesting thing was we had like 7 channels of PBS. But that's all we had. I was watching some cartoons, and I sat down there to eat my breakfast on the sofa that morning. The cartoons went off, and they went to play. And I remember a show came on. It was a painter. And I'd seen just little clips of him painting before, but I'd never really watched his program. But it was a guy named Bob Ross. Y'all remember Bob Ross? Okay, let me help you. Big afro, real soft-spoken. I mean, you know, Happy trees, happy squirrels. It's your world. Do what you want. Oh yeah, that guy. And just a weird dude, but very talented. And I remember that morning I didn't have anything else to do, so I sat there and watched him. And he took a blank white canvas, nothing on it, and he began to paint. And for about 10 or 15 minutes, he painted, you know, like he normally did, a mountain scene and a forest scene, and it was beautiful. But I remember he did something right in the middle of that painting that I'll never forget. He dipped his paintbrush down into a big glob of black paint. And right across the middle of that canvas, he went whoosh. And he just put a big black mark. And I thought, you're an idiot. What are you thinking? You nut. I thought, he ruined the painting. He blew it. I thought he's either lost his mind or it's a mistake, but it made me mad, Brother Andrew. I started to turn it off. But I'm glad I didn't. Because you know what he did for about the next 7 or 8 minutes? He just kept painting around that black gash. He just kept painting and working on it. And by the very end of the program, that thing that I thought was so ugly and nasty, it actually became the very centerpiece of the whole picture. And I remember thinking, how many of God's people are going through life and everything's beautiful, everything's wonderful, on the mountaintop, song in your heart, shouting the victory.
And then right in the middle of our little perfect world, whoosh, cancer. Whoosh, family problems. Whoosh, church problems. Whoosh, Nancy Pelosi. Some of y'all are only laughing because everybody else did. But those black marks, those gashes, they're a reality of life. And they're not always pleasant. They're not something we desire, but they still come, don't they? But you know what, church? Stay tuned. Because He's not done. Matter of fact, He may just be getting started on you. Just let Him keep working. Be patient. Just let him stay at it. And you might find that at the end of your life, that black mark, that thing you thought was so ugly, you thought it was a mistake, you might find that it was the very thing that defined who you were for the glory of God. But you'll never know if you get bitter. You'll never know that if you just quit and say, I'm done. I'm laying my Bible aside. I'm not going back to church. I'm not ever going to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm done. Then you'll just be bitter. And you'll just be left with that black, ugly thing, and you'll never see what God wanted to do with it. And the only way we can get to that place is when He says, hey, it's time to go forward. Yes, Lord. Lord, whatever You want from my life, You're the Creator. You're my Father. You're a faithful friend, and I'm going to trust You through this valley. Through this storm, through this dark place, I'm going to trust You. We're standing tonight to our feet. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight about something. I want you to do a little business with Him before we go home. Maybe He put His finger on something in your life where He says it's time to go further. Maybe you're in that valley, that low place, and you're just wondering if you're ever going to see the light of day again. Just let the Lord encourage you tonight. However He's speaking to your heart, be obedient to Him. Lord, I pray You'll bless the invitation and have Your will and way. Thank You for Your presence and Your provision all along the way on this journey. Thank You for being a faithful friend. I bless Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.